Hello and welcome to XR Connections, a podcast about AR, augmented reality, VR, virtual reality, MR, mixed reality, XR, extended reality. I'm Liam O'Malley, and this is episode number 14. In this episode, I speak with Tom Buchanan of Contact CI in Cincinnati, Ohio, about his experience as a participant in this year's Reality Hack at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology in Cambridge, Mass. In episode 12 of this podcast, I discussed this event with Thomas Jackson of Covalent, who is a volunteer at the hack and guided me through the many innovative projects that had been developed over a weekend. One of the most intriguing of these, and one that Thomas was very insistent that we experience, was a project called Rising Tide, an immersive impact journalism experience. The project put the participant in the midst of a climate change crisis event through the use of a highly advanced Vario XR1 mixed reality headset and through touch feedback from the custom-made Maestro haptic gloves that our guest, Tom Buchanan, brought to the event. Haptic and haptics are terms I am seeing more and more often, and Tom does go through this technology in the interview, but simply, haptic technology creates an experience of touch to the user through force, vibration, or motion. In the interview, Tom discusses how he got involved with the hack, how the teams are formed, how the Rising Tide concept came about, the challenges his team faced, the response to the project, haptic technology in general, Contact CI's Maestro haptic gloves, and some recent developments in hand tracking. There are links to the technologies, companies, and people discussed in the show notes. And with that, following is the interview with Tom Buchanan. Hi, we are here with Tom Buchanan of Contact CI. I met Tom at the MIT Reality Hackathon, saw his project or his team's project, a impact journalism concept called Rising Tide. And Tom is here today to give us some of his impressions about the hackathon, his project, what he's working on with Contact CI. Tom, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks, Liam. Thanks for having me. Happy to talk about the whole experience, everything we're doing with Contact CI and haptics and, you know, XR in general.
It was such an exciting, invigorating event, that hackathon, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, it was such a wild and talented group of people to get together.
There was so much energy in that building, just energy coming from everyone that was seeing the demos and everyone that was showing them. It was really, really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could really tell everyone there really had a passion for, you know, what they were bringing, you know, whether they're a programming background, artist, designer, et cetera, et cetera, or, you know, have no experience. I mean, I thought that was one of the cool things about the hackathon is how open they were to so many different backgrounds.
Yeah, I'd love to talk a little bit more about that. Can you tell us a little bit about how you first found out about the hackathon, a little bit about the process, how do you get into it, and then a little bit about your team, how the teams form? I was very curious about that because, as you said, people are coming from all types of different backgrounds, and I'm curious as to how your team formed.
Yeah, sure. So I guess I'll start with the third or fourth reality hack that MIT's put on. Mm-hmm. So I had first heard of it probably after last year's hackathon, just through social media, you know, seeing different people that were involved or mentors or just general people sharing around content from it. It was like, oh, that looks, you know, really awesome. You know, it's one, MIT's such a notable name in education and research, and two, you know, being an XR, you know, it seemed like these were a lot of the people that were doing some pretty amazing things coming together and building, you know, even more amazing things that, you know, may be involved with what they do in their day jobs or things that they just kind of wanted to explore and, you know, haven't quite had the time. Seeing that, I was like, wow, that looks really fun. I want to make a note, getting involved next year, giving it a try. Brief background on me is I've never actually done a hackathon. You know, Contact CI and We've sponsored some here in Cincinnati where we're based, but I'd never actually participated in one myself. So it's something that I made a note in my calendar to keep an eye out for, you know, people posting about like the application being open, when, you know, you could apply, how to get in, et cetera. And then, so I think around October or November, I started seeing those emails and call to actions going around to like, hey, apply for, you know, the Reality Hack. It'll be in January, everything. So I filled out an application. So I'm a hardware engineer, so I'm not typically the programmer per se. So was had some apprehension there with, you know, coming into a hackathon. But it was something that I thought, you know, I bring other things to the table. So I'd wanted to make a team that, you know, we could all balance each other there. So applied in about November, and I think it was in December or shortly, maybe end of November even, that I found out that I got accepted, and, you know, promptly obviously made sure I cleared my calendar, got prepared to go, got really excited, started thinking about, you know, what we wanted to do. And then, you know, it led up to in January, the event itself, flying into Boston. And so the whole weekend weekend, it's, I think it was the Thursday to Monday. And so Thursday they actually did, and I think you touched on this in your previous podcast about the Reality Hack. They did the whole day of just kind of intros to the different technology. They kind of kept it open so that you could mingle with all the other participants that were there, you know, get to meet people, maybe catch up with people you know already but haven't, you know, seen in a while in the industry. And all leading up to that Thursday night, where they had the actual the teaming portion, where, you know, you got your team together, you found out what you wanted to do. And so, like I said, this was my first time, particularly at the Reality Hack, so I can't speak on what they had done in prior years. From the sounds of it, they kind of revamp the teaming portion to make it so that everyone kind of got on a team, they got to do something that they wanted to be doing, they got to work with people that also wanted to be working on, you know, similar topics. So what they did is, so MIT has a really cool atrium, and I think it's their building 7, where it has 3 stories. You know, it's all centered around this open space that you can look down on. There's pillars and a big dome that you look up to. So they had each pillar on the bottom floor. They laid out pieces of paper for brainstorming and wrote on each one all of their different core kind of paths that people had thoughts around. And you know, I can't say I remember all of the topics, but it was things like social good, education, general video games for fun, things like art, et cetera, there. So what they wanted people to do was, if they had this idea that they wanted to work on, find whichever pillar kind of matched that idea the best, write down your idea, and then write a way to contact you. The Reality Hack was big on using Discord, communication app, to kind of let everyone chat. So, and they were big on making sure everyone was on that. So they really emphasized like, hey, put your Discord handle down, reach out. And then, you know, if you're walking around and you see someone with a similar idea, reach out to them, figure out a way to meet and talk about the different ideas you could do. So myself, you know, I can't say I went into the weekend with a strict idea of what I wanted to do, but being with Contact CI, I knew that I brought a pair of our haptic gloves, and I wanted to be able to incorporate them somehow to add this enhanced sense of touch to whatever experiences versus, you know, your typical controller experience. So that was kind of, you know, I went around seeing the different things that people were doing, and eventually got talking to Liam Broza, who is someone I briefly met before the hackathon, but then like re-touched base with at the weekend, and we got talking like, okay, it'd be really cool to, you know, figure out something we could do with our gloves. Still unsure what exactly that may be. So we got looking around and started seeing a couple of people post about different climate change awareness topics. And it was like, okay, that could actually be really awesome. How could we build this technology into some experience that lets you, you know, enhances your sense of perception of the climate change awareness? So met up with the rest of the people that we had kind of all seen looking at this topic. And so our team ended up being myself, Liam Broza, who is the CEO and co-founder of LifeScope Labs, Carlos Calva. He's a AI and spatial computing researcher who's done various XR training experiences based around the HoloLens and some of the AR, MR there. Claire Chuff. She's a industrial and graphic design student at the Maryland Institute of College of Art, and Grace Ma, a computer science student at the University of Michigan. Really talented, a wide variety of experience and expertises amongst the group. And we got talking that we wanted to be able to get access to one of, you know, the higher end technologies that the hackathon offered, because the hackathon offer, you know, from a variety of, you know, from Nreal to Microsoft to Vario to HTC, they were offering some of the top end, brand new, best of the best technology that's available these days. So we knew that we wanted to, knowing that we had our Contact CI gloves, and we wanted to be able to get one of those high end headsets to bring, you know, as realistic of an experience as possible. Still floating around like, okay, how are we going to represent this? What are we going to do? But we eventually figured out that we wanted to get access to the Vario XR1 headset. And so that's a headset what Vario is branding it as is photorealistic mixed reality. So what that means is, you know, you have the headset on and you can use the cameras on the front of it to view the world around you. And, you know, it updates fast enough that it's such low latency, you can actively wear the headset and look around and experience the world with you, but also overlay different digital technologies. It's pretty incredible. And, you know, some of the crazy videos they'll post online, you know, someone driving, you know, wearing this headset, which is wild to think about. But I myself, like, had tried it on at one point and was able to play catch. And, you know, this is stuff that you can't really accomplish with any other headsets. So we saw the opportunity to combine that next level headset with these haptic gloves that we make of Contact CI, and use that to think about, okay, so these are things that people in the future are going to be using, you know, in their general media consumption. You know, it's already starting now with some of the headsets, but as these headsets and control mechanisms and controllers advance, you know, that's something where it's just going to enhance your consumption of the media. So we were like, okay, so in the future, if you're just consuming media on your headset, you know, you have your gloves on, maybe there's, you know, treadmills or other, you know, interaction mechanisms going on, but you know, you're consuming media, you get a notification on your phone like, hey, oh, there's flooding at MIT. Go see that. There's the flooding due to climate change at MIT. And then you're transported to that scene using some of these headsets. And at that point, you can see the flooding rising around the city. You can reach out with the haptic gloves and feel the water rising. And it has this vast sense of increasing, you know, your understanding and the urgency that you may have for the fact that flooding is happening. The flooding is a result of climate change. And that's something that, you know, has to be acted on today. It's not necessarily a future problem. It's something that people have to deal with today. And, you know, by using these technologies, it enhances your ability to feel that and then want to take action soon. That was a topic that we developed over the weekend. I can't say that we had it fully fleshed out at the beginning when we teamed up, but that was a bit of what we wanted to do, using futuristic technology to experience media.
You brought the gloves that are custom made, correct? If you go to the Contact CI website to see all these fantastic terms such as tendon biomimicry and vibrotactile actuation. Tell us a little bit about haptics and your gloves in particular.
Yeah, sure. So it was Contact CI, we're a company that develops haptic interfaces for VR, AR, immersive technologies. And so what that means is if you think about your phone, generally, if you get a call or text or notification, you know, your phone's either going to ring or you're going to feel like a buzz, a vibration generally from these devices. So that buzz and vibration is a haptic sensation. And so that's something that you've seen in phones, you've seen in gaming controllers since, you know, some of the advents of these technologies. And they're always used as an interaction enhancer. Generally, you know, okay, this, you know, I'm playing a video game, this action happened, my phone or my controller buzzes, or, you know, you got a call, your phone buzzes. So what we're developing is we want to build this next generation of interaction for VR, AR. All of a sudden, visually, you have a whole new medium to experience. We want to make sure that, you know, we're building the forefront of that actual interaction mechanisms using your hands. Mm-hmm. And so we focus our haptic devices around the hands currently. And so what that has manifested in is we currently, our current product is the Maestro glove. And so that combines vibration and force feedback haptic sensations. And so what that means, you know, vibration, you know, just like I was been saying, what's in your phone, you know, we're putting vibration motors on your fingertips to kind of mimic the same way that your fingers reach out, they touch a table, you know, you have that point of contact sensation on the pad of your finger. But we combine that with a force feedback exotendon mechanism to actually provide some resistance of and create a sensation of, you know, a surface there. Mm-hmm. And so what I mean by that is we have these exotendons that run along the back of your hand and into a housing on our forearm that actually kind of offer a resistance and pull back on your fingers when they interact with things in the virtual space or augmented space.
It is really an uncanny feeling when you have those on and you are pressing and pushing and you feel that resistance. So in the experience of the rising tide, you felt the water rising about around you, as I recall.
So that was something that, you know, we Claire Chow, who I mentioned, she modeled the entire, that same Building 7 dome room that we had done the teaming in. Actually, she modeled that room so that we could have that fully represented in the headset for our experience. And then so what we had was, as the water rose, Grace Ma and I did some work to actually develop how do the gloves let you interact with that water, and, you know, what's that sensation that you feel. So what we ended up doing is you feel the water surface as you reach down, but then once you're actually in the water, you know, as you move your hands about, the faster or more quickly you move your hands through the water, the higher sensation you feel to recreate kind of, you know, the water flowing around your fingertips as you're underneath there, just emphasizing that, you know, there's this thing that is rising higher and higher on your body, you know, that you have to have some sort of urgency.
And really a great idea and a great execution. I understand, Tom, that there was a number of challenges with the hackathon, not only for your team. I heard an anecdote that GitHub crashed at one point or was overloaded because so many projects were going on at the same time from MIT. I'm not sure if that's fully accurate or not, but I love the story. How did you get over those challenges?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, in general, it being a hackathon, there's some time crunch. You know, you only have so much time. You come in, you know, naturally these people that are, you know, coming to hackathons come in with ambition. And I think that's a great, perfect thing for the environment. So you have these big plans, you know, and so only so much time to complete them. And I will say MIT was definitely really, or the Reality Hack team was definitely really good about making sure people at least left the building. They had to leave the building. They couldn't stay overnight, not sleep for the entire weekend. You know, they were at least, but there's like, hey, go home, get some sleep, make sure you're ready for the next day. But they, you know, took a couple days, and, you know, just as all the other teams, we came in with a lot of ambition. And so, like you said, this Vario XR1 headset, it's brand new. So the one that was at the hackathon was there because of Volvo. The Volvo design team was a sponsor for the event, and they have worked pretty closely with Vario for the development of this specific headset. So the headset, the XR1 at the event, was, you know, the first one off the shipment line. So really, like, I mean, no one had worked with it besides this Volvo team. Not many people had, you know, even seen it or had a chance to demo it. So really, you know, we were really jumping in head first for this project. And that was some of the initial problems we had of just figuring out, one, we had to get a computer that could run this machine. How does everything work and compatible? And Vario, you know, their website had some really great SDKs to pull down, so we could at least, while we were getting the correct machine, get something, look through their SDKs, look how we're going to build and integrate everything. So that was, you know, just general time crunch. I think time crunch paired with ambition was really the key thing that hit us. But, you know, by the end of the weekend, we had something we were proud of and something that we were able to show to the judges. Eventually, we actually did win the Wild West category of the event, which was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's amazing, Tom. I wasn't aware of that. So what is the Wild West Award for?
Yeah, so the Wild West Award, and so the Wild West Award is was given to different projects that kind of, or I'll take a step back. The Reality Hack in general was very big on fairness and using open source materials. They want to make sure everyone had access to all of the same assets, technology, et cetera, you know, per category. So they made sure, you know, you weren't necessarily, you know, the team that could afford the $100 assets was didn't have an advantage over the team that wasn't willing to do that. So, you know, you couldn't buy assets and stuff like that. So, but the Wild West category was for any technologies that were brought in that didn't fit, you know, necessarily the things they were already providing. And so I knew that coming into the weekend. And, you know, I'd reached out to the team and just checked with them before I brought, you know, Context CI's gloves to the event just to be sure, like, hey, is it fine? We're going to use this, everything to develop. And like, absolutely fine to bring them. But the heads up, you'll be part of the Wild West category where, you know, some other teams might be doing different other experimentations with things that just kind of break the mold a little bit versus some of the other categories, you know, like best of VR, best of AR, et cetera. So I think there were two other teams in the category, three total. I'm not entirely sure what they had done for their projects, but we were able to win using the experience that we had developed. And through that, we actually got invited to the Volvo offices in Sweden to do some hacking for them, which we're still in the process of figuring out when that will be. But hopefully, you know, in the coming months, we're figuring out a time to go there and continue to work with the Vario XR1 headset and, you know, just develop hopefully some really cool stuff for Volvo. In this time before we go over to Sweden, we're going to be touching it up, revisiting it, kind of enhancing little bits here and there so that we can, you know, put our best foot forward and have an experience that hopefully meets our ambitions to show to the Volvo team when we get there. Trying to figure out what beyond that, I don't want to commit to anything here, but, you know, looking at does it fit at, you know, the Sundances, the Tribecas as a media experience. Overall, absolutely loved the event. I thought the Reality Hack team did a really amazing job at putting it on, at making sure, you know, people were included, that people had access to the things they needed, that they had a really great mentorship group that was going around, you know, I mean, whenever we hit roadblocks, you know, with different technologies we were working with, there were people we could go to that were extremely helpful. And even if they didn't necessarily know anything, they knew who we could reach out to and, you know, talk to get the problem solved with different stuff. And those were available to all the teams. And I think everyone, hopefully, you know, for their sake, took advantage of that. But, you know, through the weekend, you know, walking through the event, you know, in the little breaks here and there, you know, got to see some really cool stuff that people were experimenting with throughout the whole thing.
Well, this is a perfect time now, Tom, to ask you about the people that you're following for developments, news in AR, VR, XR. You told us that you're in Cincinnati. Are there meetups that you go to? Are there any events that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, sure. So like I said, Context CI is based in Cincinnati, and we're actually our Context CI's founding team that's here is also a founding members of the Cincinnati VR meetup. And that's something that we've run with Vector, another Cincinnati VR company. We've run for, I think, about the past 4 or 5 years, somewhere around then. But we have over 500 members. We do periodic meetups, whether it's just get together, try some new cool technology, or, you know, informational learning sessions, a variety of different things. We kind of gauge what people are looking for. And it's cool to see, you know, the people that just have an interest in just jumping into the industry here in Cincinnati. But otherwise, locally, there's like Cincy Inno, part of the American Inno, you know, technology or media group. Cincy Inno is kind of one of the hubs that gathers a lot of different Cincinnati-based technology, news, events, etc. You know, they put on periodic meetups. But like I mentioned, so Vector, they're a local company here that's actually doing a lot of really exceptional work with workplace trainings and just empathy and perspective research for, I don't want to, you know, put words, you know, in their mouths, but they're, you know, you can put on a headset and kind of discover your unconscious biases and use that to enhance your workplace experience so that you can at least be aware of, you know, what's impacting you and how you're impacting others and how you can grow and be a better leader or just member of a team going. It's a really talented group of people that I've known for a while that they do some really great work.
we'll look into that, and we'll have links in the show notes. That's great. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, no, there's a really nice local technology community here. Sure.
And Tom, tell us a little bit more about Contact CI, what you're doing with the Maestro gloves, and how people can reach you and your team.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So earlier, you know, I mentioned a lot about the technology, but as a business, we're targeting different projects where we're working with enterprise and government medical clients to enhance their experiences. Most of them are already, so, you know, big thesis of our hardware and software design is that, you know, we're going to be the haptic providers, but we want to work with a variety of different hand tracking technologies. So there's a lot of, you know, from leap motion to the Valve Index controllers to some of the motion tracking gloves that already exist out there. There's a lot of different ways, and a lot have pros and cons that kind of, for different use cases, they may fit better. So we, as a haptics company, are building our projects to work with as many of those as possible. So a lot of times companies that we approach already have experiences where they're using hand tracking to, you know, enhance their environment, but still want that extra level of haptics. So we come to them saying, hey, we'll take what you have right now, add our haptics on top of it, and add that extra layer that really changes the experience, makes it better, makes, you know, you're able to gain muscle memory and a training experience, or just general better awareness of your surroundings. Working with a couple teams to enhance their experiences for trainings, you know, in their different respective professional environments. So it's really exciting for us to see all these different companies, from, you know, the Oculus Quest hand tracking just being released and developers starting to fiddle around with it, to even, I think, just a couple days ago, Nreal, the AR glasses, they announced hand tracking for their AR headsets, to Magic Leap talking about hand tracking. To everyone recognizing that while the controllers that are, the, you know, you hold similar, you know, Wii controllers, while you can hold them and have a really great experience, for a lot of this new generation of XR, you're going to want your actual hands so you can interact with these virtual and augmented worlds just as you interact with the real world around you. So that's super exciting for me, for us, for our whole team, that we can, you know, then add the haptics to the hands here to, you know, increase that interaction and make that even better. Contact CI, you can find us on most socials via at contact_CI. The Cincinnati VR meetup is, I think it's at Cincinnati VR. Me personally, I'm at TF Buchanan 4 on Twitter. You know, you can find most just general talk about haptics, XR, etc.
Thank you, Tom, for joining us on this episode of XR Connections. I appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed being here.
Thanks once again to Tom, and thank you for listening to XR Connections. If this was of interest, you may be interested in episode 12 with Thomas Jackson for more on the MIT Reality Hack. The podcast is distributed by Anchor. The call was recorded with Skype. We use Logic Pro X10 for recording and editing, and a Scarlett microphone with a Focusrite interface. You can find the show notes at marsandmercury.com. You can find me, Liam O'Malley, on LinkedIn and in Twitter, or Liam at marsandmercury.com. Please do reach out. The music is by Dr. Mars, and thanks once again for listening.